You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action, more specifically Thursday's action on the Knavesmire as we move on to day two of the Ebor meeting at York. We've got Chepstone Stratford alongside that as well in the afternoon, and it's Wolverhampton, Fontwell and Killarney. Throughout the night, it's Bobby Beavers, Chris Pimlott and Andrew Mount in the studio. They're live from 1:20 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio, so do join them for that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
I'm good, Mark. Enjoying the action so far at York this week, and it started off in fine style, and I think it's set to continue for the next few days.
Yeah, superb stuff on day one. We're going to have a little bit of a look back at that in a moment or two. I thought you'd be more tanned, Gareth, coming in here. You've been doing a bit of globe trotting again, I can't say it. You were in Italy, weren't you, not so long ago?
Yeah, we've been in Italy over the last week or so. I try and keep in the shade if I can, Mark. I've got quite a, it's a very fair skin and I need to look after it. But Italy was very good, and we actually took in some racing there, but not of the regular kind, you could say.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it looked a little bit mental, if I'm honest. Just talk us through that. I mean,
yeah,
it must have been something quite crazy to be near, I suppose.
Yeah, we took in the Palio horse race, which is in the main square in Siena. And you often see it. I didn't actually realise there were two races that they hold a year. I thought it was one. And so when we went out there, it wasn't planned. And we just happened to be, by fluke, staying about 45 minutes away from Siena. So we thought, yeah, we'll go along. So basically, it's €300 a seat if you're in the buildings surrounding the square, or it's free in the middle. So obviously we went in the middle, and along with 40,000 others. So there's 40,000 people in the square, and each part of the city, there's 12 parts of the city, what they call contradas. They each have a representative which runs in the race. And the stakes are quite high, because we did a little bit of research on it. It's something along the lines of, if you win the race, your contrada, your area, gets free tax for nearly a year.
Wow.
So obviously it's well worth winning, and there was a lot of singing, a lot of chanting, tremendous pageantry and build-up, and you sort of go there around about 4 or 5 hours before the race. It's like going to a theme park and waiting in a long queue for a two-minute ride, because the race lasts around about 2 minutes, and you wait in the centre amongst 40,000 others for about 5 hours just to watch a two-minute race and get a good view. But that's what we did, and it was one heck of an experience. And the race, if you don't know what the race entails, it's basically three circuits around the square, which is probably around about 3 furlongs in sort of perimeter. There's a 90-degree turn at one point, for which there's usually always fallers, and there was this year as well. And the jockeys don't ride with saddles, so they're just purely on horseback. It's very Corinthian, very exciting, very dangerous, and yeah, it was one heck of an experience. But we're glad we took it in, and it, as I say, it was purely by fluke, and yeah, can highly recommend it.
Yeah, well, compared to that now, I mean, the Yorkshire Oaks I thought was a great renewal this year, but it suddenly doesn't seem quite as good. Of course, it is a good renewal. We'll move on to that in a moment or two. We're going to get Gareth's thoughts on that race and the Lowther as well. Big day for the fillies and mares on the Thursday at York. Well, let's just have a quick glance back at the Wednesday. The feature race was the Judmont International. Looked a good renewal beforehand, and we've got a pretty good winner, in my opinion. Roaring Lion won it in nice fashion in the end. As a result, he's got quotes of 7-4 for the Irish Champion Stakes, 5-2 for the Kipco Champion Stakes at Ascot, of course, and 3-1 quote for the Breeders' Cup Turf. It all went well for him, all went to plan for him. We've seen him put his best performances in at York in the past as well, having won the Dante there. It didn't quite go to plan for Poet's Word. It was actually got a quote of 25-1 for the Champion Stakes, which I think is too big. But was it a case of it all went right for Ronan Lyon and all went wrong for the other one?
Possibly, although I'm not sure the result would have been any different had Poets Wood got the run that his rider desired down the seemingly favoured stand side. Roaring Lion was kept further out towards the centre, but really did accelerate for jockey Oisin Murphy and cleared away. Again, he's edged over towards the near side. We've seen him go right-handed times before. We've seen him go left-handed on others. You know, he is a horse that sort of, when he's put through the pain barrier, he does seem to lean one way or another. But it doesn't stop him going forward. And I think this season we've been lacking a real star three-year-old colt who's consistently come out and has run his race time and time again. And I think Roaring Lion possibly is the one. He was so impressive in the Dante earlier on in the season. He won that brilliant Eclipse. And the way he's gone and won this Jedmont International, you know, by a clear-cut margin, I think it's fair to say that he possibly is the standout three-year-old colt of the season. It's just taking him a while to sort of become a man, but I think he's come of age this year, and I was so, so impressed with him at York, and once again he's shown his liking for the track, and yeah, he's already got quotes with us here at William Hill. Fairly short enough now for the Irish Champion Stakes, but given what he's done, and that race is still a few weeks off, I don't think there's any other horse at the moment that I can think of that I'd be willing to take him on with.
I think I agree in what you're saying about as the season's progressed, he's clearly matured, hasn't he? And he's, I think he probably is the best three-year-old colt out there now. I think the only three-year-old near him at the moment probably is Alpha Centauri, who I think probably is still better. But in terms of the boys, I think he's right up there now. He's proven it by beating the Guineas winner in that race today. He's beating proper Group 1 performers and the older horses as well. And I was impressed with Roaring Lion there. A few changes to the St. Ledger market as well, and what we saw at York today. Kew Gardens has actually shortened into 2-1 despite getting beat. Old Persian was the winner, of course, at 6-1 in the Voltiger. And Wells Fargo finished fourth. He's got a quote of 10-1. Do you think we've seen a classic winner in the mix there?
Possibly. Again, I think it's quite an open-looking sort of race. It's going to be a race which I think lacks a real champion as such. It's going to be a wide open St. Ledger this time. Kew Gardens, you know, he's been running consistently well all season. He's done really well at Ascot, and though he was beaten at York this week, he's run a really good race in defeat. I thought the winner of the Voltiger, Old Persian, you know, he was really, really game, because the horse that wasn't eligible to run in the St. Ledger because he was a gelding, the stablemate of Old Persian, you know, he's pushed him all the way home, but he's just kept finding a little bit more. I felt really that Cross Counter was all the time, even 50 yards out, I thought he was going to get him, but Old Persian just wouldn't be denied. It was a really game effort, and again, he didn't come down the seemingly favoured stand side rails. He's been a couple of horse bits off the fence, so I think it was a really honourable run and performance by Old Persian, and 6-1, that's I think a fair each way price. Wells Fargo, of course, representing Tim Easterby, who won the race about 12, 15 years ago now with Bolin Eric, obviously trained in Yorkshire, is going to be very popular on the day, but has he just had his sort of limitations exposed, I wonder? And he's a horse that likes to go from the front, and you just wonder on the day at Doncaster if Ballydoyle have got one or two in their possible pacemaker angle for Kew Gardens again, whether that could just gnaws things up a bit for Wells Fargo. So yeah, I'd possibly have my doubts about him, and I think that pretty much, yeah, the prices are about right, but it looks a wide open race, and there'll be one or two others no doubt come that second week in September that we can throw into the mix.
I actually think Wells Fargo is possibly better with a bit more dig in the ground anyway, so from the front on testing conditions or softer conditions in the Ledger, as you would expect, I don't think 10-1 is a bad quote for him. But yeah, I think you summed up rather nicely there. The William Hill St. Ledger, of course, comes up later on in the season. Anything else catch right at York, or should we move on?
Yes, Phoenix of Spain,
yes,
who
of
won
course, yeah,
the Acom.
Yeah.
Very impressive. A horse that actually caught my eye second time up when he ran at Wolverhampton. He blitzed the field there. He's massive for his age. You know, a two-year-old, he looks already the size of a horse a year older. And he looks as though he's going to be some horse next season. And he's going to do better over further. Of course, that race that he won this week over 7 furlongs, he looks already as if he needs a mile, maybe even a mile or two. But he's got one heck of an engine. He seems to need every single yard of that 7 furlongs at York this week, but he's got a lot of size and scope. He's clearly got a lot of ability, and he beat one or two, you know, really highly touted horses in the Acom. So yeah, Phoenix of Spain, he's definitely a name for the future.
Leicester first success as well always looks a little bit better, doesn't it? Let's move our attention to Thursday's action then, day two of the Ebor meeting at York. We're going to look at three races on the card. We're going to go through them in class order, if you like, so we'll finish with a big race. But the 4:15 is where we start. It's a listed race, the Gultra Stakes, for the fillies and mares over a mile and a half, and quite interested to see Lati Dar back on the track, because she was a filly with classic aspirations earlier on in the season. She's had her injuries and things haven't quite gone to plan. Excited to see her back.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about horses trained by John Gosden that race in these colours, but they always seem to be a little bit fragile. For all that, they're very, very high quality. And Lati Dar, I think, falls right into that sort of bracket. It hasn't worked out for her in terms of the classics. She had to miss her intended engagements, having won the Pretty Polly in such fine style at Newmarket back in May. She's not been seen since, and the form of the race possibly hasn't worked out quite as favourably as it could, but she looked a filly of huge potential, and it's great to have her back. She's going to be fresher than all of her rivals here. So with Frankie on off a mark of 109, I'm expecting her to take the world of beating, because there are some fillies in that race that, you know, have quite frankly got very little chance. And she's only having a third race course outing here. She's still open to plenty more improvement, and yeah, I think she's going to take the world of beating. And she's around about the even money mark with us here at William Hill, Lati Dar, and yeah, I think she is by far and away the one to beat. She's just open to more improvement than so many of her rivals.
Even money for Lati Dar. Sun Maiden 7-2, 7-1, What a Home. Always and Forever is 15-2, and it's double figures for the rest of them. That's the betting as we record this on Wednesday afternoon. Moving on to the second race we're going to look at. It's the first race on the card at York on Thursday. It's the Lowther, which is a Group 2 for the 2-year-old fillies over 6 furlongs. Always look forward to the Lowther. These 2-year-old speedsters are always a great watch, and at the moment Fairyland is 15-8 at the top of the market, 9-4 for Angel's Hideaway, Flawless Jewel is 7-1, 9-1 for Little Kim, and 12-1 on bigger prices for the others. I can see why Fairyland is at the top of the market, but there are probably one or two concerns about the yard form now.
Yeah, possibly. They have had a winner over in Ireland this week at Killarney. I mean, Kew Gardens ran well enough. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of winners lately, numerically, they've not really been seemingly firing on all cylinders. But I've been a fan of this filly, Fairyland, ever since she made her debut when she won at Nace. She immediately went into the notebook. She then went on to follow that up when beating the boys at the Curragh. She ran a terrific race at Royal Ascot when third in the Albany Stakes. The winners turned out to be very useful, their main addition. I think that she is the one to take the beat here. For all that the form of the stable, it's the thing with the Aidan O'Brien yard, they're always seemingly so hot, so when they're not quite as hot, it becomes very noticeable very quickly. I think Fairyland, the draw possibly could be a bit of an issue. Day one of the meeting has seemed to have favoured high drawn individuals, whereas Fairyland gets berth two, which means that she's going to be towards the centre. It's obviously not impossible for her to go and win down the centre, but on day one of the meeting it was high drawn numbers which seemingly were favoured, and that will definitely bring in to play the John Gosden representative here, the second favourite, Angel's Hideaway, who's a bit more experienced as well. She's had 5 starts, she's won a couple of times, she scored in good style in Group 3 company at Ascot last time out. That was in the Keeneland Stakes, the Princess Margaret Keeneland Stakes. She won that race clearly, and she won it very comfortably. She looks to be a filly of massive potential still, and could still be improving as well. So I think again, the betting has got it right. They've got the right two in the betting market. I'm not willing to desert Fairyland just yet, because I've liked her from day one. But given what's happened on day one of the meeting, Angel's Hideaway looks to be a real big thorn in her side.
I'm interested to see from an each way angle how Flawless Jewel gets on as well, by the way. Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan always do well at York. She's related to Sands of Marley, who won the Gimcrack, I believe, at York last season. So there's, you know, chance for her to win a big race at York herself. I thought she would, look at that, she won by 16 lengths. It was a nothing race. Well, I don't like to say it's a nothing race, but she hasn't been much, but she won by 16 lengths. The way she's done it, I think she could be anything, that old chestnut.
Yeah, she could be anything. And as we saw with the horse that we mentioned earlier on, Phoenix of Spain, the race that he won at Wolverhampton, it wasn't necessarily a nothing race, but it was a much, much softer affair. And he looked as though he deserved the chance to take his place in this sort of much higher grade. And it worked out. And Flawless Jewel, I think, falls into exactly the same category. She beat a 100-1 chance by 16 lengths. I actually think that 100-1 chance of Alan Berry's just as shallow, as since come out and has run really well again, for what it's worth. But she only had three rivals. She was entitled to beat them. She beat them hollow. This is going to be a lot hotter, but connections obviously feel that she's good enough to take her chance. And at 7-1, the first two are taking quite a bit out of the market. There are three places to aim at, yeah. So there is value to be found elsewhere.
Fairyland, the selection for Gareth Thubb, and we're going to move on to the big race of the afternoon now, the Yorkshire Oaks, a Group 1 for fillies and mares that are 3 year olds and older. It's over a mile and a half. We've seen some real top quality winners of this, none more so than Enable, of course, last year. Sea of Class at the top of the market for this year's renewal at 5-4, 7-2 for Lawrence. Coronet is 6-1, 6-1 are bigger prices for the rest of them as well. Magic 1, 6-1, 11s for Azira and 16s bar those. I like this. I think this is a great race to look forward to. You've got like the older horse or the 4-year-old in the shape of Coronet, who's classy on her day. Then you've got these 2 3-year-olds, the French Oaks winner and the Irish Oaks winner meeting. Sea of Class, of course, winning the Irish Oaks last time and doing it under a very confident ride. Plenty of class about the performance as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing them take each other on the nerves tomorrow, on Thursday.
Yeah, it looks to be, in terms of for the fillies, you know, one of the races of the entire season. It's going to get boring because, again, I'm siding with the favourite here in Sea of Class. But, you know, she looked to be all about class when she won that Irish Oaks. She was given a brilliant ride by James Doyle. He rode her with the utmost confidence. One of those rides, you know, if he'd been beaten a neck, it would have been, oh, no. but, you know, she got up and it looked a snug neck as well. And that was the thing. And she's come home ahead of you know, two or three of her rivals who are going to be going in against her once again in this race. Lawrence has looked just ultra tough from the start of her career. You know, she's not really, well, she hasn't run a bad race. She's never been out of the first two. She's won 5 of her 7 career outings. And it's just her attitude and her will to win, which I think wins over her fans every time. And, you know, she's obviously a very high quality filly as well. She's going to give it her best shot. She's drawn high as well. She's liked to race prominently. She's got plenty in favour, judging by how the races seem to have panned out on day one. You've got the older filly, Coronet, who's a 4-year-old, but she's got, again, such a high level of form, and she seems to repeat this high level of form race in, race out, even though she doesn't win time in, time out. But, you know, third in the King George last time, second in a very hot race over in France the time before, the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud. She actually came to win the race, and she just got beaten by the André Farber trained Waldgeist. It's good form through and through, and she's proven that she can mix it in against the boys as well, which at the moment the two ahead of her in the betting, Sea of Class and Lawrence, they haven't done. And then after Coronet, we're sort of getting into not wishy-washy form, but sort of Magic One. She's won. She's been beaten against the 3-year-olds this year. I'm not sure she's necessarily a superstar. Azira for Dermot Weld is mildly interesting. She's coming here looking for a 4-timer. This is going to be so much tougher than anything that she's tried so far. But she's looked pretty good in winning at the likes of Leopardstown and Cork in Group 3 companies. So she deserves to take a chance. The others are probably likely to struggle. Fascinating race. Do you side with the older filly Coronet, who's going to find this a bit easier, I think, than taking on the likes of Poet's Word in the King George last time? Do you side with the ultra-tough Lawrence or Sea of Class, that's still very lightly raced? And the one thing you know with Sea of Class, she's not going to be brought to the race course undercooked. And if William Haggas isn't happy with her, he wouldn't be risking her here. And I think she's going to be absolutely spot on for this Darley Yorkshire Oaks. And I think she's going to just outgun Lawrence late on. It promises to be a fantastic race.
It sounds a little bit silly, given that she's won a classic last time out, but I think we haven't seen the best of her yet, whereas I think we've seen the level in Lawrence that, you know, we know she's tough, we know she's a genuine Group 1 performer, but is she still going to keep going forward from that? We know all about Coronet. I think Sea of Class is the one that's already got Group 1 form that could still be going forward.
Yeah, she could. And the thing with Lawrence as well, she's obviously got a brilliant constitution for her races, because she's taking in these races. She's not winning them by very far. Yeah. i.e. she's having a pretty hard race each time. You just just wonder how many more times she can keep on doing it. All horses seem to have a barrier that they do eventually hit. And Lauren's, she's only had the 5 runs or the seven runs herself, but you know, she is a bit of a winning machine. But how much more can she keep on doing this? And you know, has she taken on a sea of class yet? And judging by what we saw over at the Curragh, I'm not convinced that she has yet. And like we say, sea of class, she's that bit less raced, and she could be open to just that bit more improvement. So yeah, that's why I favour her.
Top stuff as always, Gareth. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Good luck, and enjoy it on Thursday.
Yeah, will do. Day off, so it's going to be glued to the TV set.
Nice. There you go then, the thoughts of Gareth Topham on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Bobby Beavers, Chris Pimlott and Andrew Martin, the team in the studio. We've got day 2 of the Ebor meeting at York. You don't want to miss that, because it's going to be another superb day there. On the names, Meyer, Chepstone and Stratford. I was going to say Sheffield. There isn't a race course in Sheffield.
Not yet.
Chepstone, Stratford alongside that in the afternoon. I've been doing too many Greyhound meetings. Wolverhampton, Fontwell and Killarney in the evening. Do join the guys for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.